Alright, peace y'all. What's poppin'? What's poppin'? Salute to everybody on this wonderful Monday, you heard? Make sure y'all tap in on the Patreon, man. We got the Blonde Bombshells, man. The history behind industry kittens. Alright, yeah, a lot of valuable information over there on the Patreon, man. Over 500 videos and counting. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to slow down the pace a little bit. I don't want to overwhelm myself with topics. So, we got some more stuff up there, man. But we also dropped this today. The generation of technology. Their God is Prometheus. All right? So, if you want to tap in, the link is in the description below. And got some valuable stuff up there for y'all. Salute to my peoples, Terrell Jones was popping, man. C-Note was popping, my genius. Nikki Picky was popping. Don Prototype. Pookie, what's going on? Tata was popping. Vibes was popping. E. Eric T was popping, man. Alright, so I got some crazy stuff to show y'all today. You know what I'm saying? Some crazy stuff to show y'all today. We're going to be talking about some things as far as with the music business. As I always tell y'all, you know, my main focus is on, you know, the bad side of the music business, what they don't tell you, all right? So I'm going to be talking about the artist Money Long and also ex-drummer Chris Hicks, Christopher Hicks, who was approached by the devil himself. And I'm going to play the video. And he's going to, you know, give his testimony on what he actually went through in the process of it, all right? Now, I want to start here, right? Because when I tell y'all, it's an agenda, all right, in the music business, right? When I say that it's an agenda, you know, people think, oh, you what are you talking about, agendas? But let me show y'all this real quick, man. So, I'm going to blow this up on the screen real quick. You know what I'm saying? We're going to talk about this. Because this needs to be discussed right now. Now, this lady from Australia, you know what I'm saying? As y'all seen in the thumbnail, her name goes by Aya May, I believe. And she's an Australian singer or artist, whatever. But she did a song and dropped the song a couple days ago, which was called Carmageddon. Now, I'm not going to play the song because, you know, it may be owned by a record company or whatever, so I don't want to take the risk of anything like that. But in this song, right, she kind of like exposes a lot of stuff, and the record company or her manager dropped her. So this is what I'm talking about. Like, this is all, you know what I'm saying, this type of stuff. So it says, singer Aya May has emerged as the new darling of the political right after her latest track, Carmageddon, became a viral hit on social media. The Australian musician, whose stage name is usually styled in lowercase, has garnered a wave of attention after stating in an Instagram post that her management dropped her because she refused to change certain lyrics in the song. Now, I heard the song. She was talking about the jab. She was talking about Anthony Fauci. She even mentioned Kim Kardashian, Kanye West. She said a lot in that song, you know what I'm saying? And what's so crazy is that you got a lot of these hip-hop artists that won't risk their career like this because, you know, they sell their soul. You know what I'm saying? And salute to her for, you know, not caving in. It says in the song, May rails against Big Pharma, a man-made virus, cancel culture, and a war that she brands genocide. Erasing any doubt about the lyrical targets, May's website describes the track as addressing the pandemic narrative, corruption within political, blah, 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 and health, blah, 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 Israel, blah, 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 and blah, 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 blah. See what I'm saying? So, you know, I don't want to play the song, but the video is up on YouTube. It's doing numbers, you know what I'm saying? And it's crazy to me that, you know, you could be dropped from management or a record label just by not speaking your mind. And I always thought that record companies, not all of them, but for the most part, a lot of them would give you what they would call creative, something about creative, some creative control. So you could basically rap about whatever you want, make music about whatever you want, and the label would approve it. But the fact she got dropped lets you know it's a lot of agendas out there. You know what I'm saying? And she's all the way in Australia. So I don't know, man. It's, you know, it's sinister when it comes to stuff like that. Let me see. Rackavelli was popping, said, let me see. Brown Sugar said, excuse me? Yeah. Probably, Derek said, probably a publicity play. I don't know. I mean, she's not signed, so I don't know. That could be the case. Archangel was popping. He said, well, if she all of a sudden lose her mind, we at least know why. That's what I'm saying. I was reading the comments, and they said if she come up missing, you know what I'm saying, you know, because whatever contract she signed, you know what I'm saying, it just, I don't know. Let me read some of y'all comments, man. They said, AFMG said, the music game is just so sick and it never stops and people still want to get in it. It's crazy. Yeah, well, I'm going to play a couple videos today and we're going to talk about how shady the music business technically is. You know what I'm saying? Like, most people don't, you know, want to involve themselves in the music business or try to sign these record deals. You know what I'm saying? Or you know, all of the strength is that you got independent companies out there now. So, yeah, he said, Black Uni said, nah, not publicity. She said to me, I don't know. So let's get into this, man, with this drummer dude by the name of Chris Hicks, right? And this video is kind of crazy. It's kind of crazy because I told y'all about all of this stuff that really be going on. And nobody wants to listen to me, but maybe if you hear from this dude, you know what I'm saying, who is a drummer, and apparently he toured with the group Sublime, they got a song that I didn't realize that it was so popular by the name of Santeria, and that song, I used to hear that song all the time, and I didn't know that that was, you know what I'm saying, the name of their song or that group, but he was in a group that focus mainly on reggae, I guess reggae rock or type of thing. And so was Sublime. It was kind of like that. But he going to tell his testimony, right? And just pay attention to the things that he say. I ain't going to play all of it. If you want to go and watch the full video, make sure y'all tap in with the channel Touching the Afterlife. I believe it's called Touching the Afterlife. And they got a lot of great content up there. So salute to them. You know what I mean? But I'm going to play this real quick, and he going to give his story. Let me play this for y'all real quick.
I started getting into music, and I became very, I mean, not to, like, you know, boast or anything, but I became very well in my music career. You know, I played drums very, very well. I started doing, like, recording sessions. I was touring with a band named John Wayne and the Pain. We started getting some recognition, not huge recognition, but it was definitely very big within our area. We were doing tours with members of Sublime, another guy, Bernie Worrell, who actually led the Washington, D.C. orchestra at the age of 11. He was a music prodigy, but he was also in the band Parliament Funk. So many things. Like, it was just amazing. All these things and all these connections were happening. We had a what we called the Playhouse, and it was a mansion, and it was a full music studio in this mansion. We had a slide that went from the second floor down to the kitchen. We had a production studio upstairs doing, like, vocals and things like that and hip hop beats. So I was making a lot of money, and actually I was making more money than a lot of the jobs that I've had since, which is kind of ironic.
But Eric T said, it's a sick world where Dolce is considered Harriet Tubman music, but Sexy Red is okay. Bruh, let me tell you something, man. They did a number on our people, son. I'll just say that. They did a number on our people. You know what I'm saying? Eric T, like, that's just, you know what I mean? That's just crazy, man. Jay the Gent said, it's a couple music artists that have given their testimony on Touching the Afterlife. Yeah, we gonna play it. I ain't gonna play the whole thing, but, you know what I'm saying? It's about an hour long. If you wanna watch it after this live, salute to everybody that hits the like button for your boy. We gonna keep spreading this message, y'all.
What this led to was a time of severe depression. It's just that void that's in a person's heart that cannot be filled with anything except for Jesus. And I just was empty. I thought that if I were to make it to this certain point, that I was going to be recognized and I was going to be fulfilled in all these things. And it was actually the complete opposite. So one day on the playhouse stoop, I was just sitting down and I was with my best friend at the time, and he was sitting behind me on the steps behind me. And I heard an audible voice, and the audible voice said, I'll give you whatever you want, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And it was almost like a person was there, like someone actually said this to me. And I knew if I were to take this, it would come with fame, the glory of, you know, being in the limelight. I just knew that there was something spiritual happening, but I didn't know exactly how sinister it was at the moment. I looked back at my best friend at the time and I said, I just heard a voice saying, I'll give you whatever you want, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And he just looked at me and he just shook his head and he said, you know you want it.
Isn't it crazy how people from all across different phases of life that get in the music business all have similar stories? It's just crazy to me that people don't believe in this stuff. You get what I'm saying? It to me it's like you gotta really turn a blind eye to this. Like, especially in, you know, the music business. You know what I'm saying? There's a video clip, maybe I play it after this, where one of the members of, I think it was Ozzy Osbourne or Kiss, one of them groups, one of them rock groups, and they said that one of the members, he came out and was like, you know, they was conjuring up stuff, you know what I'm saying, in their room before they got famous. And then he said he went to sleep and Ozzy Osbourne woke up and wrote one of the hit songs, and they just blew up after that. So I don't really know if people think that this stuff is a joke or it's a coincidence, but you know what I'm saying? It's crazy.
And I just felt something very, very terrible at that moment. I was like, what is going on? And it was just something so out of the norm for me. I've experienced other things in the past, you know, like I had a ghost, which was actually, you know, demonic figure that actually was standing over me one time when I woke up, and it felt like I had the flu. And so I definitely have had like paranormal experiences, but this one was very different. This seemed more personal, if that makes sense. So fast forward a few days later, the Lord, which I now know it was the Lord, really started putting on my heart to write a screenplay. And so I started getting into, you know, screenplay writing, and I was going to do it on this one particular topic, but I kept on remembering this photo that my father had shown me, my real father, my biological father had shown me, a friend, it was a mutual friend of him and I. His mother went over to Egypt to this Coptic church. And it is the church where the church in Egypt that Joseph and Mary had fled to with baby Jesus, and they had established a church. So anyways, there was many sightings of the Virgin Mary. And so she went over, she was Catholic, and she took a photo inside of this church. And when she got it developed back in the United States, there was an apparition of a woman presenting a child. And they had given us a copy of this photo. And when I looked at it, I instantly knew. I was like, that's baby Jesus. I don't know exactly if it was the origins were good, but I do know that that picture ended up playing a big role in me changing the topic of this screenplay. So I ended up actually writing about a prophet. And so I started studying all these different religions. And I
Don Prototype said he called BS on that. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I can't go against what somebody may have experienced in their life. You know what I'm saying? But I just, you know, I looked up the group, and, you know, they haven't really, the group that he was in was called John Wayne and the Pain or something like that. They hadn't really did too much, but they was touring with the group Sublime. And I don't know, you know, maybe he could experience some stuff. You never know. I don't, you know, I'm not going against his story. Excuse me. Tristan Thompson was popping. He said, happened to me when I was playing guitar. I had some bad paranormal experiences. Used to be an amazing guitar player. See what I'm saying? People experienced it, and it's like, if you have no talents or no gifts, then yeah, I could see you not believing that stuff. Like, I could see it. If you ain't got no gifts or talents, then I could see a person not really believing this stuff. But if you pursuing something, because we all know that music is the devil's playground, right? We all know that. Matter of fact, let's get to that. Let's not talk too much. Let's start there. Let's do this.
When it came to playing the blues, there was no other musician quite as gifted as Robert Johnson. His powerful vocals and unrivaled skill at the guitar were nothing other than extraordinary. He was good. Too good. Shortly after his death, at the age of 27, rumors began to spread about the origin of Robert Johnson's talent. He had made a deal with Satan. No. He sold his soul to become the greatest musician of the Mississippi Delta. Throughout history...
Now, I told y'all this, right? Now, for all of those people that come from the Deep South, right? You know, my ancestors are from the South, you know what I'm saying? I got a lot of family from the South that, you know, come from South Carolina, North Carolina, Mississippi. They always spoke about things, what we know as roots or whatever they would call it, right? And this particular practice would be considered that. Now, when you got a person like Robert Johnson, right, and somebody probably gave him the word to go down to the crossroads and meet with a specific being, right? But there's two different beings. You got night and day. You go down there at the wrong time and you'll manifest something that will trick you. You get what I'm saying? This is why I said, like, people don't need to be messing with that type of stuff, because that's a little crazy. Going to the desert, talking to you know what I'm saying, demons and stuff like that. Leave that stuff alone.
There are many curious tales of people who gain unimaginable wealth and talent under suspicious circumstances.
See?
If the legends are to be believed, the price tag is a lifetime of loyalty and servitude to the devil. But when it comes to selling your soul for earthly gain, there's a lot you ought to think about. I'd hate for you to enter a diabolical contract uninformed. So I've drafted up a helpful list of pros and cons of selling your soul to demons, using examples taken from history. Warning, selling your soul to the devil has severe physical and spiritual repercussions. Side effects include, but not limited to, eternal damnation, possible regret, doom and or gloom, nausea, and a lifetime of servitude to the prince of darkness. Please consult with a parent or legal guardian before undertaking a fast-food bargain of your own. YouTube videos cannot be held as valid evidence in a supernatural court of law. Okay, on with the video. Have you ever wanted more out of life? Feel like you're missing out on the wealth, power, and knowledge you deserve? Well, a deal with the devil might just be your ticket to happiness. Just think, you're one small signature away from acquiring a new skill, without the boring hours of practice, or finding that perfect romantic partner without the hassle of self-improvement.
They said Robert Johnson couldn't play a lick of music. He was trash. They said he went to the crossroads, disappeared for 6 months, came back, and was writing all these songs. How is this possible? Some people may say, well, maybe he was practicing. How? Practicing how? How can you write all of that stuff in 6 months? You know what I'm saying? They said there's a book. I ain't gonna promote that. Salute Rio Christ. I ain't gonna promote that. And there's been M's and bad things that happen around the area. All right.
The possibilities seem endless, but be warned, nothing good comes for free. Consider the legend of Dr. Faustus, perhaps the most famous example of selling one's soul for personal gain. In one version of the popular myth, Faustus was a scholar who had become dissatisfied with his work. He'd always felt that there was more to his studies than just law, logic, and science. It's at that moment when a demon suddenly appears in his chambers. Introducing himself as Mephistopheles, he had been observing Faustus and offered him all the knowledge he desires.
Fortune bargains. You know what I mean?
The catch? His soul. Without adequately weighing up the risks, Faustus agrees to the deal. Mephistopheles will serve Faustus for 24 years. But once those years are up, the devil will claim his soul.
Think about all of the celebrities that die at the age of 50. The list goes on. They all die at the age of 50 or some strange number, 27. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, the process of doing that is like, you know, they go down and say, all right, I got to either renegotiate or I'm just going to just deal with this. You know what I'm saying? And people are crazy, man. You got some crazy individuals out there that mess with this stuff.
For eternity. The demon Mephistopheles teaches Faustus everything he had desired, and more, including the dark arts of magic, alchemy, and divination. Faustus soon finds himself with unfathomable riches and wondrous new powers, look, which he enjoys for 24 blissful years.
Look.
Inevitably, however, those years trickle away. The story ends with Faustus bitterly regretting his decision, but it's too late. The devil has come to claim what is owed. The tragic story of Faustus appears in plays, books, and films. The tale contains a warning. Beware of the dangers of ambition. Had Faustus accepted the feeble limits of human knowledge, he may have been happier in the long run. But in the short term, those perks are pretty sweet. Think of all the good you can do with all the knowledge in the world. Think of all the bad you can do. To play devil's advocate here, is an eternity in hell really worth it?
No.
If religious art is anything to go by, it looks like a pretty unpleasant place to...
For worldly possessions. Somebody, RJ, said 24 years goes so quick, man. Yeah, but you got a lot of people out there that, like, so, the song Murder Was the Case by Snoop Dogg, where he's making a deal with one of them things, right? And in the song, he says he wants to live forever. That's what he said. He wants to live forever. Think about the times that we going in now. Not even to get on no sci-fi stuff, but think about the times where we going into now where they want people to become immortal. So these things won't, you know what I'm saying? They'll just be, you know, dealing with this stuff. I don't know.
Visit demonic torture, bubbling cauldrons, and being chewed on by Satan himself. There's a lot to have to put up with. But don't let these artworks discourage you. After all, how would these painters know what hell is actually like?
Right.
It's not like they've been there themselves. Unless. The story of Dr. Faustus is fictional, but there are real-life cases of individuals who are alleged to have made a pact with the devil. Often, they are musicians. Niccolo Paganini was one of the most celebrated violinists of his day. He was a virtuoso, a title given to the rare few who had total mastery of their instrument. Paganini was the best of the best and regularly filled out concert halls across Europe. Many wondered how he became so talented. Perhaps it was his abnormally long hands, which allowed him to play three octaves, or his tendency to wildly dance around the stage. When Paganini died at the age of 57, rumors spread that he had made a bargain with demons. One courtgoer from Vienna claimed to see the devil in the audience. Mm. Others thought Paganini was the devil himself. As the scandal grew, priests soon refused to bury the violinist. It was a further 20 years for Paganini to find a permanent resting place. And if the stories are to be...
And look at where he was buried at. That ain't nothing cheap. That ain't nothing cheap, y'all. The way he was buried at is not cheap. Look at that. You got a whole mausoleum right there.
Years for Paganini to find a permanent resting place. If the stories are to be believed, Satan has a good ear for music. And just like in the music industry today, he encourages musicians to enter into unfair contracts.
Right.
Just look at the many musical genres throughout history that have been labeled the devil's music. Rock and roll, hip hop, jazz, folk, the waltz. I don't know about you, but hell has a pretty great soundtrack. In fact, if you listen carefully, you may actually hear Satan in the music. There's a particular combination of notes that's been nicknamed Diabolus in Musica, Latin for devil in the music.
Whoa.
It's called a tritone, a combination of three adjacent whole tones. And it sounds a bit like this.
No, we're not playing that in here.
Tone has an eerie, dissonant sound. No wonder it was forbidden in church music. Over the years, this daunting chord has been used to conjure up an image of hell. Listen.
Now, when I say music has frequencies, it's just different now. They using technology to do that type of stuff. But back in the day, you could play specific chords. You like people understand the power of chanting, right? Using all of these type of things in music to influence people. You understand? Certain notes that are played by using these instruments. They getting this information from them type of beings, man. You know what I'm saying? For real.
Listen to this extract from the Dante Symphony by Franz Liszt, in which he uses tritones throughout.
See, I don't know. Now I ain't playing that in here. I don't know what this about. See, I ain't playing that. Nope. Not today, Satan. Not today. Not the day.
The suspicion of these tritones persists even today. In fact, they were often used in the blues music of Robert Johnson.
What?
Who we met in the introduction. His devilish sounds likely fueled the suspicion that he had sold his soul to the devil. For those who...
Yeah, I heard a few Robert Johnson songs. They didn't sound too good to me. It seemed... Something was off about his music. You know what I'm saying? Something was off about it. It seemed depressing. Like, it sounded like rap today. You know how all of these rappers all sound sad when they making music, and the sound frequencies are not happy or uplifting. It's all dark music. That's how it sounded to me.
Want knowledge, wealth, and power at any cost. A soul seems like a bargain. But what does Satan get out of it all? Why is he so interested in collecting human souls? In many Christian traditions, Satan is described as being in competition with God,
mm-hmm.
who can command the most souls, who can influence world affairs. For much of history, it was believed that Satan and his demonic representatives roamed the earth and preyed on the weak of heart. Sometimes these religious fears would erupt into a mass moral panic, like with the witch trials that spread across early modern Europe and the Americas. Ordinary people, predominantly women, were accused of making secret pacts with the devil, and using their magical powers to cause droughts, plagues, and general misfortune.
Wow.
It was said that they would gather late at night to perform a Sabbath, a dark ritual where demons would be summoned to walk the earth. There are many witchcraft books from this era, like the Lesser Key of Solomon, a compendium.
Look, y'all see that? Y'all see that on this book? It say at the top, when it say Alpha, and then on the bottom it say Omega. That's kind of crazy. Beginning and end. As above, so below.
Of demons. It also contains advice on how to summon them at home. You find the demon who can help you with a given issue, etch their sigil in chalk, and negotiate a fair price.
Wow.
To counter the apparent rise in witchcraft...
Do not try this at home, y'all. Please don't try none of this stuff at home, man. I experienced this stuff, so y'all wouldn't have to do this. Please don't do it. It's not worth it, bro. It's not worth it.
Came the dedicated witch hunters, agents of the church, who would go round accusing people of sorcery. However, actually proving the local milkmaid is secretly a client of Satan is difficult, if not impossible. So, the witch hunters used whatever they could as evidence. Forced confessions, torture, and even finding incriminating birthmarks. If they got what they were looking for, the punishment was typically being burnt alive at the stake. The witch hunts claimed up to 60,000 innocent lives, and sometimes even priests would get caught up in the accusations. Urbain Grandier was a French priest accused of the Loudun possessions, in which a group of local nuns accused him of bewitching their convent. A trial quickly ensued, and a mysterious piece of evidence was brought forward. An alleged contract with the devil.
See?
In an encrypted Latin script, the document claims that Grandier had bargained his soul in exchange for money, power, and women. As a result, the priest was later burnt at the stake. After his death, many grew suspicious of this mystery contract. Nowadays, it's believed that it was politically motivated by his enemies in the church.
See?
My advice is this. When it comes to making...
And like I said, you got people that are in power that still use this stuff. They still use this. They still practice this stuff. People that are in power.
Making a deal with the devil, be wary that your newfound powers don't garner any suspicion. It's hard to enjoy yourself when the Inquisition is at your door. If you do happen to sign a satanic contract or have a diabolical birthmark, best keep that evidence to yourself. As we've seen, the myth of making a deal with the devil appears in many different places. But where does it come from? One of the earliest stories has to do with a book in the Middle Ages. Ironically, a copy of the Bible. The Codex Gigas, literally meaning big book, is the...
Hold on, y'all. Before I finish this, it's WRX was popping. He said, as long as you don't blaspheme Holy Spirit, you could be forgiven. All right, so what I will say about this, right, is that is true. But here's the thing. Because these type of things operate in the spiritual world, and they know your spirit. They know your mind. So let's just say a person does go out and practice this nonsense, right? And they say, well, by the time my time is up, I'll just repent and give my life to the Lord so I don't have to, you know what I'm saying, go downstairs, right? But that ain't how that work, because right before you attempt to even do so, they already, these things already know what you're going to do. You understand? So then it'll be a situation that happened where it'll prevent you from even doing that. Maybe the loss of your life, maybe something tragic, who knows? But you know what I'm saying? This is why a lot of people try to get out of this stuff and they can't. You know what I'm saying? They can't do it, so they just keep on doing it. You know what I mean? Like, you would think people like Katy Perry would wake up, you know what I'm saying, be like, yo, what she doing is wrong. Nah, they in too deep with it. They in love with the flashiness. You know what I'm saying? Salute Tori and Howard, man. Thank you for becoming a member of this channel. I greatly appreciate you, man. Russell said, yeah, it don't work like that. Even if you pull it off, the Most High knows your heart. Your heart. Yeah, it's people. Some people think that they can just play that game and, you know what I'm saying, and get away scot-free. Nah, son. You know what I'm saying? Nah. Because let's be honest here. If a person is messing with this stuff and, you know, they go, let's say they go and repent, right? The spirit will have to collect something from you. So it may, you may have dodged the bullet, but then it may take your kids or your relative or something like that. It's this stuff is nothing to play with. This is why I be trying to tell people, like, don't go down this path, because it's nothing to play with. People think that this is cool, you know. Nah, man, you could be edgy, but you don't have to mess with this. You know what I'm saying?
Largest medieval manuscript in existence. Turning to folio 290, there's a frightening illustration of a crouching devil, adorned with sharp claws and a forked tongue. This image has sparked numerous creative tales about where it came from. One story is that it was created by an unknown monk in a dire situation. The monk had broken his monastic vows and was due to be buried alive. In a last-ditch effort to escape this fate, he promised to write out the entire Bible in a single night. What he produced was the Codex Gigas, a book so large and intricate that is estimated to have taken 20 years to have been written. According to legend, he'd asked the devil for some assistance that night and drew a nice picture of him as a way of saying thanks. The moral of the story, at least I think, is that if you need help getting work done, dial a demon. The inspiration...
Think about Drake, right? With the album cover for All the Dogs or something like that, and his son drew that devil. What would make his son draw that on the album cover? He drew like some type of dog devil thing. I don't know. A demon or something. But that's what I'm saying. They know what they doing with this nonsense. They know what they doing, man. They know exactly what they doing. Somebody said, some Mega Block said, 1-800-DOLLAR-DEMON is crazy. Hey, we laugh about this stuff, but people really be on that nonsense, bro.
All these myths come from the Christian New Testament, to the story of Jesus wandering the desert. In the biblical account, Satan appears before Jesus to tempt him into following him. The temptation of Christ is the foundation behind the concept of making a demonic pact. Satan is depicted as a tempter who can promise worldly things.
See?
All for a little bit of everlasting allegiance. Is that too much to ask? For Christians, Jesus provides an example of how to react to this kind of demonic temptation.
And in that stupid movie that Jay-Z did, The Book of Clarence, this was all about that. But Clarence, I believe, which was, you know, blasphemous in a way, he took the offer and had all of this power. You get what I'm saying? He took the offer from the devil and had all of this power, and he wanted to go against Jesus or whatever. You know what I'm saying? And then in that movie, that was weird. They made Jesus like some dark figure where you couldn't see his face. It was weird. Like, I don't know.
Just say no, even if it isn't as fun. The concept of selling your soul to the devil has been used in a variety of ways throughout history. To warn people of the dangers of greed and ambition, to account for people with extraordinary abilities, or to persecute an individual or whole group of the population. It's a mixed bag for sure, and the mythological trope certainly has had a complicated history.
And you see how the devil is the trickster, right? Because you got a bunch of witches out there that were using, you know what I'm saying, these type of things, communicating with these things, right? Which was wrong. And then you had the whole community burn the witches, which was actually wrong. You get what I'm saying? So now he wins all around. You understand? He wins all around. yeah, Cino said that movie was kind of weird, no lie. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't like that movie, but that was, I mean, once I seen Jay-Z, and then look, y'all, look at this. Look at this. Y'all see the two eyes in the mouth? Y'all see the two eyes in the mouth on the devil's behind right here? That's what they call the shameful kiss. You got to kiss the devil's behind, okay, to get there. That's why you see all of them rappers and people sticking their tongue out and all of that nasty stuff. That's all a part of the shameful kiss. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people that will practice this stuff, they will have to involve themselves in that type of nonsense. Look it up, y'all. Look it up. It's called the shameful kiss. The shameful kiss. Or the kiss of shame. Osculum infame. This was real stuff that went on. This ain't no joke, man. This ain't no joke, man. Let me read some people in the chat real quick, man. They said, yeah, that's why hip-hop was pushing eating the box. Yeah. Eating the groceries and all of that nonsense. That where do you think this stuff come from, man? You know what I'm saying? Where do you think this stuff come from? Those are practices that we ain't supposed to be involved in. They said, Michael Jordan tongue out. Joseph Turner said, the shameful kiss, you made that up. I'm just saying, you the same way you type this comment is the same way you could type on the internet and find the information I just told you. You I don't understand it. I don't understand it. Yeah, man. They said, that's where kiss my came from, Peacemaker said. Yeah. It's all kind of nonsense and crap that goes on. But now I want to talk to y'all about the industry real quick with Money Long, right? She's an artist. I don't really know her music too tough, but she's an artist. And she kind of just like exposed the industry. And like I say to people all the time, it's not designed for people to win. You get what I'm saying? They will have a lot of these artists demoralize themselves and promote all of this negative stuff to please those type of things. This is why I said, once you sell your soul, you know what I'm saying, you got to kind of like, you know, get your mind right. And a lot of these artists, they realize like, yo, I done messed up big time. I can't go back. Somebody in the comments said, well, Jay, you know, if you sacrifice somebody, or if they, you know, a rapper sacrifices somebody, they could be forgiven. No, you can't, because you consciously made that decision to go down that path. You can't just say, yo, you know what? And yes, people do change. You know what I'm saying? People do change. I'm not going to say that. But if you make a conscious decision to willingly give up a relative or a friend or whatever for your own personal pleasure, you gotta deal with that. That's why Nori was like, yo, it's two doors. And once you go through them doors, you can't come back, son. Ain't no turning back from that. You made that choice. You know what I'm saying? Joseph Turner said, damn, you were right. My bad. I'm just saying, bro. I wouldn't come up on this thing and lie to y'all. I wouldn't lie to y'all. All right? So, you know, I try to, you know, steer people away from that nonsense, man. You know what I'm saying? But let's play this video about the artist Money Long exposing the industry. And they did her dirty, too. They did her dirty, too, man.
Money Long has been in the industry for an extremely long time. She was first introduced to us as Priscilla Renee. She got a record deal after she skyrocketed in popularity on YouTube. This led to the underrated classic Dollhouse and her debut album Jukebox in 2009, which was not a success, but her work paved the way for her to make a lucrative career out of arguably her most gratifying gift, making a catchy song. Mm-hmm. She had and still has hooks for days. Her knack for melody is one of one, and she's written for all your...
Now, when I tell y'all, right, I tell y'all this all the time in my videos, whenever these artists that sign these record deals, they come out, right, they might have performed at a talent show or whatever, and they get these record deals, right? For some strange reason, why isn't that the first album do no numbers, but then when they spin the block, oh, they just skyrocket to success. You know what I'm saying? A lot of them go through that same process because you ain't partaking in the nonsense yet. And then once you get hip to the nonsense, that's when your music will take off. That's when your album will sell millions and millions of records. It took Cam'ron three chances to make it to platinum status. You know what I'm saying? Three. He dropped two albums. Nobody played that nonsense. And then when he did the third album, it just took off for him.
Who are your favorite pop stars? Rihanna, Madonna, Ariana, Mariah, Sabrina Carpenter,
yep.
Selena Gomez. The list quite literally just goes on and on. She's been a part of an entire generation soundtrack. In 2019, she rebranded into Money Long to give herself a fresh start. And initially, she was independent, so she did a lot of groundwork. Hours and Hours took off and she got signed to Def Jam. Ever since then, she's been one of R&B's biggest breakout stars, despite having just as long of a career as many of the vets. Money Long has since gone on to be more vocal about her treatment as a songwriter when she was in the background, and how people have tried to take advantage of her and did in many cases, ranging from people using her voice, giving her songs away, and being expected to write songs for other artists while not getting the respect she deserves.
They did the same thing to Ashanti. You know what I'm saying? And what's that other lady name? She was on the song with Eminem. I think the song called Monsters. Something Monsters Inside of My Head. And they took her off the song. They took the original lady off the song and put Rihanna on there. You know what I'm saying? This is what I be talking about. It's not designed for people to win, man. It ain't, man. ADD said artists, but they're promoting what they're supposed to be promoting. Lower chakras. This is true. This is true.
I've seen so many stories of artists having to fight to keep a song that they wrote, which is insane to me to wrap my head around. Ciara said this about her song Goodies. Her label Jive was trying to give it to Britney Spears.
What?
And she had to fight to keep it.
Now, that's new news. I didn't know that. I didn't know that they tried to give that song to Britney Spears. Wow.
Britney Spears.
Oh, they were just trying to, yeah. I heard about this and I was like.
And you know what? I know Britney wasn't the one trying to take my songs.
Yeah.
Because I love Britney. I want to say that, okay? We all love Britney.
Yeah.
But at that time period, that was their plan, right? That was their baby. They had her for so long. So of course I'm this new artist and the song is pretty amazing. You know, Goodies was knocking.
No, they know
so
it's going to be a hit.
Why,
yeah, yeah,
you
yeah.
know, but I'm like, no, no. When I understood it, I'm like, wow, that's crazy. But that was my baby. That song Goodies was where everything began for me.
On the other hand,
wow.
A. Marie mentioned that she had to leak one thing to the radio so Jennifer Lopez couldn't get it. It's insane.
Look,
that
she always stealing. She always stealing, yo. Between her and Beyonce, these two always stealing something. You know what I'm saying? Like, I you know, I just can't stand talentless people that just will take credit for something they didn't create, man. You know what I mean? Like, that's just crazy to me. That is crazy to me, man. Like, yeah, Brecavelli said, I can't imagine Britney singing that song. Me either. The beat and everything, too.
Artists have to fight so hard to keep a song they helped create, to keep it from going to a bigger name that had nothing to do with the creation of the song. Obviously, music is a business, and wanting a bigger name on a song is normal. But it just feels so morally wrong that these artists who created the song have to fight tooth and nail to keep a song that was initially written for them. And also, it strips the smaller artists of an opportunity to have a breakthrough. Like, imagine if Ciara never got Goodies, or A. Marie never got One Thing. Those are big breakthrough moments that their careers would not-
And then One Thing, I think that was like a spinoff of Beyonce's song or something like that. I don't know.
Look the same without, and may even not exist without. But I say all this to say that Money Long's experience is not unique, but it's interesting to hear the behind-the-scenes stories directly from the source. She first made a video about Atlantic Records, allegedly asking her to write soulful-sounding songs for non-melanated artists, which I think at its core is a systemic issue. People wanting black music, but not from black artists.
Whoa.
It's a tale as old as Elvis. Also, consider the fact that Money Long had negative experiences in the industry as a black woman, being promised things and her being removed off of songs she wrote and given to white artists because she wasn't deemed profitable enough to sell them herself.
You see how they do? You see how they do? Somebody said it, I gotta scroll up and read the comment, but somebody said Esther Dean went through the same thing. I didn't know that either. I didn't know Esther Dean went through that. You know what I'm saying?
She has written music for literally every race. In this case, I think she takes issue with the optics of a label specifically requesting soulful songs for non-soulful artists.
Wow.
I think the issue at hand is about black artists not having the same luxury to be easily accepted by all music communities,
mm-hmm.
being met with a form of resistance, and having a higher likelihood of being pigeonholed.
And that's our fault, because and this is no shade to my sisters out there, but I can't speak for all, right? But most people will glorify these Caucasian artists and not listen to their own artists, like their own black artists. You know what I'm saying? Like, they'll listen to a Britney Spears or a Katy Perry and know all the words to that cheesy song, Hannah Montana, Miley Cyrus, garbage. But they won't know one song for Money Long, though. You know what I'm saying? Unless it's toxic like Summer Walker or something. If it's toxic, then yeah. But if it's all about uplifting you or soulful, they don't want to hear that. They don't, you know what I'm saying? Our sisters don't want to hear that. They want to listen to something either it's got to be too cheesy or it's got to be negative. There is no uplifting. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean?
While white artists just get to float between genres, and if it's decent enough, they are met with praise and success.
Thank you,
she's
sir.
Clearly fed up with the unfairness that has followed her.
Fuck no! Oh, hold on. They cussing? Sorry. Sorry, y'all.
In her following video, Money Long revealed that Atlantic Records gave Pitbull the hit song Timber without her permission, and made her re-record the chorus because Kesha wasn't able to hit the right note in the song. Kesha does sing on the song, however, Money's voice assisted hers. She claimed they refused to pay her, and Kesha's mother was trying to get 2% publishing on the song, even though she had no involvement in it.
So I didn't expect that last video to go so crazy like it did. I feel like it warrants a little bit of context, specifically Atlantic Records. I'll name you 3 times that this has happened. So this is the first time. I'm gonna do a second video, I'm gonna do a third video. First time, I write a song. Song is called Timber. Love it. They fall in love with the record. Me and Breon had a great time in the studio writing a song. Breon is also, they're like, oh, we want to give it to Flo, as in Flo Rida. Oh my God, like, this is incredible. I don't know what happened. The song ended up on Pitbull. About 2 weeks before the song gets ready to come out, they hit me up saying, hey, Ben, I'm not gonna say your last name, Ben, who used to work at Atlantic, calls me and says, hey, we need you to come cut some vocals. What does that mean? In my mind, you need my voice on the song. Cool. They still haven't said anything. So I go and I'm hearing somebody else's vocals on my song. I'm like, what is this? I'm hearing this part. Ooh. When I wrote it, I said, whoa. Where the woo came from? They're like, oh, well, you know, she couldn't sing it like you. So we had her change it to woo. And now we want you to go in and sing the woo underneath her.
Wow.
Because your vocals are underneath her on the hook, on the whole song. And so if you don't sing the woo, it's going to sound different. And we need to have the same feel.
It said that's literally Milli Vanilli, bro.
That's the problem that I have. You want it to feel a certain way, but you want it to look that way.
See what I'm saying? So they want that soulful sound. The same thing with J-Lo. They want that soulful sound. But they want to put this whole idea of this Caucasian girl up there on the TV screen. We can't promote Money Long on TV. No. She may turn around and uplift black women. No, we can't have that. We can't definitely have that. You see what I'm saying? So put Kesha up there on the television screen and record the vocals under it so nobody can. And guarantee you, the record companies is not going to give her a percentage of that song. Unless it's her song, she wrote it. A Portrait of a Lady said the same story over and over again. Yeah. It's okay for us to promote nonsense and BS, but then when you want to do something right, the labels will push you to the back, son. You know what I'm saying? Quashinda said same thing happened in the 50s. Yeah, they mentioned that, talking about Elvis doing the same thing. You know what I'm saying? Elvis did the same thing. Took all of those old people like Chuck Berry songs and all of them people songs and made millions off of that music. and he Chuck Berry sitting up there in the Cadillac with nowhere to live. Crazy, man.
You want to feel this way? Nah, player. I didn't get paid, among other things on the business side that just were not handled properly. Not to mention, later on, there's a copyright claim on the song. Said artist's mother was trying to get publishing on the song, and she didn't write it. Not one word.
Now, how can that happen? Kesha's mother was trying to get publishing on the song that she didn't even write? How does that happen? Yo, yeah, Dionne White. Yo, listen, Dionne White, that's a big thing going on right now. I heard that AI writes the music. That's a big thing going on right now. They saying that Drake is using AI, allegedly. So we not even really hearing, you know what I'm saying, real Drake. It's an AI. You know what I'm saying? And what they doing is they getting people that skilled, that know how to make AI songs, hiring them, paying them a couple $1,000s, and copyrighting the AI music. But that's illegal. You can't do that. But if a person giving them permission, then yeah, I guess you can, right? I guess you can. I'm giving you permission to use my voice to make an AI song. Yo, this is crazy, man. It's really crazy right now with this music. Yeah, Unpopular said music is done. That's a fact.
Yeah, song came out. The rest is history. The only reason why I was even in the studio, because my Karen bought me flowers and sent me on vacation. Because that's the only way that he could get me to show up. Because they always do stuff like this. Specifically, Atlantic Records.
That remind me of Cadillac Records. Remember? Y'all ever saw that movie Cadillac Records? Muddy Waters, he didn't get no cash. They only gave him a car and a house and fur coats. They did the same thing to Ray Charles. Never no cash. We just give you a bunch of gifts to shut you up. Oh, she likes flowers. Just get her a bouquet of flowers. She likes edible arrangements. Get her that. Shut her up real quick. You know what I'm saying? No dough. You know what I'm saying? So I say the record companies be pimping their artists, because they'll make you work like you in a sweatshop, but you won't get paid. Unless you down with them peoples. You know what I'm saying? Unless you down with them people.
I find this story so fascinating, just hearing the behind the scenes of how much goes into a hit, and also very troubling given how much songwriters are just not given their respect. This reminds me of a recent incident where singer Talisa revealed that Scream and Shout by will.i.am and Britney Spears was taken from her. Whoa. Talisa shared, "I got a call from will.i.am saying, listen, I want to take this record. Will you give it to me?" Basically trying to do everything legitimately. I want to put Britney on it. I want to release it around the world. It'll be amazing for you as a writer. And I said, no, she said. Talisa penned the song and wanted it to be a big record for her own project. She found out the song had been taken from her once it came on TV, so she wasn't even given a heads up.
Wow.
Her voice is also utilized on the record, which is likely why Britney is singing in a weird British accent on the song. Talisa.
They didn't even change her accent, bro. That's horrible. That is horrible.
It's British. To make matters worse, she was left uncredited on the song and had to sue to get her royalties and credit. She did, however, clarify that Britney has nothing to do with the situation. She probably didn't even know who Talisa was until a story came out that X amount of the record has now gone to me, she said.
This is going to be my next single. I can't give it to you. I need a follow-up from Young. I was just casually sitting at home and there it was on the telly. You know, and
Britney, that's how you found out?
Yeah, Britney's just singing and I'm like, is that my voice on the record that she's singing over? You know, when you're in the club, All Eyes on Us. You can hear it. My vocals are on the record, so she's singing on top of me. That's why she's got the British accent. And so yeah, it started the long process of another legal case, which, you know, amazingly, thankfully, turned out in my favour. And actually, now I don't complain about it because royalties are good.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, with how prevalent social media has become, I encourage these stories. Songwriters are still in the background, but they have some form of leverage with social media. Obviously, it's not safe for everyone because retaliation could play a big part and destroy the livelihood of an up-and-coming songwriter, but when we consider a lot of songwriters over the last decade have also become full-blown breakout stars in their own right, there could be a bigger conversation on the horizon. Obviously, money is a part of that change of songwriters becoming breakout stars, but so are artists like Victoria Monet and Ray. And I'm sure in general there are a million stories about songwriters being taken advantage of by artists, labels, the middlemen, producers, and anyone else. And I do think there needs to be a significant change in that form. So more power to Money Long for standing up for what she believes in because she is now in the driver's seat and has all the power to help force a change in the industry.
Yeah, they said Britney been gone. Man, listen, man, that lady is just a shell at this point, man. That lady is just a shell, man. That's how I look at it. Yeah, I mean, let me just say this, y'all. Like, with the music business, you know, and I'll speak to all my peoples out there that still, you know, writing music and doing music. It's probably safer to be a songwriter or a producer than actually being a poster child or a brand for a record company. Now, some people that start off doing songwriting or producing, you know what I'm saying? They, you know, because they see the rappers and the singers getting all the attention. So for the most part, they like, yo, I want to give it a shot and see what I got. You know what I'm saying? Like Kanye, we wouldn't know who Kanye was if he was just a beat producer, a beat maker. You know what I'm saying? But he gave it a shot and, you know what I'm saying, it took him, you know, to stardom. But I always say this, like songwriters, you know, that's probably safer. You know what I'm saying? Because mind you, what they don't tell y'all is this, is that, you know, songwriters and producers, they make more money than the actual artists. I don't know if y'all know this or not, but some people think these rappers and singers make all of this money, but the producers and the songwriters actually make way more than the artists. Reason why is because you have things such as points or royalties or publishing that go directly to the songwriter and the producer. You get what I'm saying? And the artist is just the mascot standing on stage performing it, doing karaoke. That's all it is. You know what I'm saying? So it's just, you know, when you think about it, the business is, you know, designed for, you know, most people to fail. And then you have a lot of these singers, I'll say, that put their hard work and effort into creating music, and then the record companies, you know what I'm saying, they get these individuals that are willing to sell their soul, and they just make them sing on top of it, and they don't have no talent. These are talentless people. They don't have any talent. You know what I'm saying? If I guarantee y'all, I can put money on this. I guarantee you, if you heard Britney Spears in the booth singing without all of that auto tune on, you'd be like, this lady's horrible. But the engineer know how to crank that song up and make it sound like something. You know what I mean? That's just all it is. It's all a game. It's not, you know what I'm saying? It's not real, man. Unpopular Advisor says, seem like songwriting ain't too safe either. Well, yeah, when it comes to stuff like that, having people, you know, take credit for your work, yeah. In that case, yeah. But, you know, when I say safe, I mean like as far as with, you know, participating in all of that weird nonsense and, you know, not reaping the benefits of your work. And, you know what I'm saying? It just seemed like it's a lot, you know what I'm saying, to be an artist. You know what I mean? And a lot of people, they're willing to take that risk because they want to get their moms a mansion or they want to drive the latest cars and, you know, have all of these materialistic things. But like I said a couple lives ago, y'all, like, look at a lot of these newer artists. They all look miserable. Like, you got all of this, supposedly all of this money, but, you know what I'm saying? You just look miserable. You know what I mean? And salute to all up y'all people out there that love Megan Thee Stallion. I watched her documentary, and that's a sad lady. She, you know, you live in this big old house, and you in this big old house crying, talking about some, I just wish I never did this. You can't live with yourself because you in this big old house. And you sitting in this big old house crying. A lot of them go through that. A lot of them go through that, son. You know what I'm saying? A lot of them go through that, man. It's just, I don't know, man. They cover it up with taking stuff. That's how I feel. RJ said, I wonder how Metro Boomin gets his beats. Well, I know a lot of people don't really understand this process, but there's a lot of, you know, I'll just say, I'll name y'all three people. Dr. Dre, DJ Khaled, P. Diddy. If you know, y'all probably know more. All three of these individuals do not make their own music. They don't make their own beats. You know what I'm saying? They don't make their own beats. They all use people to get the way they gotta go. They, you know what I'm saying? And that's just the facts of the matter, man. Like, you know what I mean? It's, you know, people think that these people are talented and they're talentless. They don't have no skill. But then you gotta think about this. How do you get far in a business without skill, without talent? You know what I'm saying? Messing with that nonsense. That's what it is. That's what it is. They mess with that nonsense. They trick you. What does a magician do? He tricks people. That's what magicians do, right? They do tricks, right? You know what I'm saying? So it's just crazy, man. Like, you know, it's crazy, but you know, yeah, he said Dre don't make his own beats. Never heard that before. Oh yeah, you can look that up, bruh. Scott Storch was doing his beats, and you want to say, oh, he was doing NWA beats. No, because the producer was DJ Yella, was doing a lot of that stuff. You know what I'm saying? And even when he was with Death Row, Daz was doing a lot of the beats. Daz came out and said, yo, Dre used to steal my beats all the time. So what beats did you make? The whole Chronic album was Daz produced that album. Chronic 2001, Scott Storch produced that. I mean, he don't make no beats. He don't make no beat. Yeah, they said, Captain Coldblood, they said, all the beats you think are Dre's are DOC and DJ Quicks. Thank you. I mean, I mean, this is what I'm saying, though. P. Diddy is the same way. He got a group of people, Stevie J and all of these people. Don't let me forget his name. Derek Angeletti, D. Dot. They was all making beats for Bad Boy. He was just sitting in the studio. Yeah, put this drum on top of this piano right here. Mix that sample right there with that sample. That's all he was doing. You know what I'm saying? That's all he was doing. DJ Khaled don't make not one beat. But he can go and get a producer to make this beat. Yo, put that right there. Yeah, now I'm going to put my name on and say, DJ Khaled. Now everybody think he made the beat. He ain't make that beat. You know what I'm saying? It's a shady business, man. But you know what I'm saying? It's still going to go on, unfortunately. You're going to still have people out there that really want to participate in that stuff, man. But, you know, it's just crazy, man. It's crazy when you think about it. I'm going to read some people in the chat, man. Aqua Girl Roger says, surprise, surprise. Yeah. WRX said, hey, y'all, there is something brewing in the background, like on some apocalyptic type. Yeah, man. Captain, yo, I want to tell y'all this. If y'all make it to the end of this live, type zero, right? But I want to tell y'all this. Be careful with the food you eating right now. It's a lot of stuff going on. They didn't recall broccoli. Chicken is bad. Don't eat none of that stuff, man. Don't eat none of that stuff, man. I had Popeyes the other day and got really, really sick. So be careful out there. I just want to give y'all that a heads up. There's a lot of stuff going on right now with the food. So, you know, I just wanted to, you know, give y'all that information at least, man. But, yeah, man, salute my guy, my genius, Jay Stacks, Calhoun was popping, Tara White was popping, Shice Black, Russell and Richardson. Russell and Richardson, yeah. Nostalgic Games, Nick Taylor, Nadia, Don Prototype, JT, The Artistic Mess, C-Note, it's a sure. Purpose is everything. Aqua Girl Rising. Yeah, she said carrots shaking my head. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? They even attacking the vegans right now, man. Like, psh. LJ the King was popping. Yeah, they said I'm eating a croissant. Jay Hardway was popping. BAP was popping. He said, what about Swiss Beats? I don't know. Maybe, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. I wouldn't put him in that category because, you know, I seen him, I not personally seen them work in the studio, but there's footage of him out there actually making music. Captain Cold-Blooded, Adrian Tucker, Nostalgia Games. Did I shout you out already, Tara White? If not, salute to you. MD was popping. Recavelli said, you all skipped it. Staticky was popping. He said, wasn't you signed to or work for a record label? Yes, I was. Thank you for the super chat, my guy. Sos J was popping. Don Sultan C-Nas. Chantabelle was popping. AC. He said, that's why SoundCloud rappers always using celebrities, steal they sound and lyrics. Yeah, just gotta be. Make sure your stuff is copywritten, man. Stanae Nay was popping. Random House Stations. T-Powers. Gold. G on the Beat was popping. Zero Kazee. Queen Shay. Terrell Jones. All right, relax. We said, all right, y'all. So make sure y'all tap in, man, on the Patreon, man. If you would like, the link is in the description below. I got a lot of videos up there you could binge watch. You know what I'm saying? Stuff that I can't put on YouTube. YouTube made me take down a teddy bear video. So that's up there on the Patreon for y'all. If you want to check that out as well. Also, we got the generation of technology for my sci-fi nerds out there. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You might want to tap in and check this out as well. So salute to everybody. I'm going to come up here maybe tomorrow or Wednesday if I find something great to talk about. But I thank y'all all. You know what I'm saying? I hope I informed some people today about this information and sparked some people's brains if possible. You know what I'm saying? But Jay, love y'all all, man. Salute to everybody that hits the like button. Salute to all the new subscribers. I greatly appreciate y'all, man. Love y'all, and I'm out of here, man. Peace.